Welcome to a new episode from English Plus Podcast. We have today's digest, and we're going to talk, as usual, about a lot of things. We're going to kick things off with our words of wisdom. We're going to talk about this apple a day thing, whether it's a real healthy fact or just an old-time fiction thing. And then we're going to dive into one of Stephen Covey's famous quotes. After that, we're going to move on to our word power section. We're going to talk about the expression hit the spot. And then we're going to talk about a very special word, and that is quotidian. After that, we have the did you know section. We're going to talk about a couple of things that are very interesting. We're going to talk about the Sahara Desert. And you might think that there's nothing special about the Sahara Desert. Well, you'll be surprised to know that the Sahara Desert was once a green paradise. Did you know that? If not, stick around because we're going to talk about it in our Did You Know section, but that's not everything. We're also going to talk about a very interesting and weird thing that happens when we grow older, that time flies by. Well, this is an expression, of course, but you'll be surprised to know that time actually feels faster, or time flies faster when we're older. If I piqued your curiosity, very good, because you're going to want to stick around to know about this. Then we're going to move on to our language section, where we're going to talk about enough and how we can use it. And we will finally finish our episode in our literary section, where we're going to talk about a poem by Phoenix. And this one is called Mighty Ulysses. And finally, we're going to finish with our spotlight, and we're going to talk about superheroes. And we're going to imagine superheroes. And if you were one, what would your power be? So all of these things in this digest episode from English Plus. My friends, don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. I'll be starting with an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Is it really healthy or just old-time fiction? Let's find out together. Have you ever looked at an apple and wondered if there's truly some magic in it? Could this simple fruit really be the answer to better health? Well, you know the saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, but does it actually? Is this old age proverb a nugget of health wisdom or just clever wordplay? Well, get ready to find out. Welcome to Daily Proverb from English Plus Podcast, where we go beyond the surface of those familiar sayings we all know, and today we're sinking our teeth into the juicy topic of apples and health. Now let's travel back in time. This proverb first popped up in the 1860s. Back then, it wasn't just about apples. It was about eating any fruits and vegetables to stay healthy. The original rhyme was actually, eat an apple on going to bed and you'll keep the doctor from earning his bread. Kind of catchy, right? But beyond the catchiness and the rhyme thing, is there actual science to back it up? Well, apples are superheroes in the fruit world. They're full of fiber, vitamin C, and something called polyphenol. Plant compounds with awesome antioxidant benefits. Antioxidants might seem fancy, but they're basically shields for your cells, protecting them from damage that can lead to things like heart disease and even cancer. Studies show that apples might help lower cholesterol, blood pressure, and improve gut health. So, could they really be a secret weapon against doctor visits? Well, let's be real. One apple probably won't miraculously cure all your ailments. But a diet filled with lots of fruits and veggies, including apples, is definitely linked to better overall health. So while there is no silver bullet, there's definitely some truth in that old saying. Now, if an apple a day is good for you, what other simple, everyday things can have a huge impact on your health? Well, this is my question to you before we move on to our quote for today. Remember, you can answer these questions in the comment section. You can do that on the website. You can do that on the podcast platform where you're listening to this episode, or on my Patreon page. You can leave a comment there. You can become part of the community, whether you want to be a premium member or not. You can join for free. And when you decide to become a premium member and enjoy all the exclusive content that I put there, you can do that anytime you want. And now let's move on to our quote section for today. And our quote is very special and said by none other than Stephen Covey. Don't go anywhere, stick around, I'll be right back. Have you ever felt trapped by your situation? Like life's just dealing you a bad hand and your choices don't even matter? What if there's another way to look at it? What if the key to taking control of your life isn't about changing your luck, but changing how you react to it? Buckle up and prepare to be inspired. Welcome, my friends, to our quote section in the Digest from English Plus podcast, where we delve into life's most thought-provoking wisdom. Today, we're dissecting a powerful idea from the legendary Stephen Covey. He said, "I am not a product of my circumstances. I am a product of my decisions." Are you ready to challenge your thinking? Let's dive in. Now, Covey's quote is all about owning your power, even during tough times. Now, let's be honest, we all face difficulties. Sometimes they're out of our control. Family troubles, job loss, health issues, or even worse. Those situations can feel overwhelming, defining. Now, this is where Covey challenges us. Are we letting those circumstances control us, or are we making choices despite them? Picture it like this. You're in a leaky boat with a tiny paddle. You can't control the storm, but you can choose where to paddle. Will you focus on bailing out water or trying to reach calmer seas? It's the same in life. Covey's message is that even in the worst scenarios, there are always choices. How we respond, the actions we take, that's what shapes us. Now, here's the thing. This isn't always easy, I know. Changing our mindset takes work. But think of the alternative. Giving in to the idea that you're just a victim of life's whims, that's hardly inspiring, is it? Now, instead, Covey's words remind us that we have power. It might be the power to change our attitude, seek out help, persevere, try something new. It's that power of choice that defines us, overcoming the circumstances we face. So here's your challenge for today. Think of a tough situation in your life. Maybe it's something in the past, something you're facing now, or even something you're worried about in the future. Instead of dwelling on what you can't control, ask yourself, what choices do I have right here, right now? They might be tiny choices, but they're yours. Where can you take a step towards the life you want? That's putting Covey's words into action. And again, my friends, share what you think with our community. Now, I know I'm not doing the best I can to build a community, but I'm working on it, and I'm preparing something that I will reveal to you in the days to come. But for now, you have the comment section on Patreon, on the website, or wherever you're listening to this podcast. But for now, that was our Words of Wisdom section, and we're done with it for today. But of course, more will come in our other digests, so don't miss out on those. And next, we're going to talk about some word power. We're going to talk about a very interesting expression and a very interesting word. So you don't want to miss that. Stick around, because I will be right back. Have you ever eaten something so delicious or done something so perfect that it just felt absolutely right? That, my friends, is the magic of the English expression, hit the spot. But why do we say it? What's this mysterious spot we're hitting? Get your taste buds for language ready. Welcome to our English Express, where we bring idioms to life. Today, we're unwrapping a yummy phrase with a surprising history. So strap in and let's explore what it really means to hit the spot. Now imagine you're parched on a hot day. An ice-cold lemonade slides down your throat. Ah, that's a refreshing feeling. It totally hits the spot. It means it gives you the exact satisfaction you were craving. But here's a twist. It's not always about food. Think of the perfect song coming on the radio just when you need an energy boost. Or finally finding that missing puzzle piece. Those moments can also hit the spot. They fulfill a need or feeling in just the right way. But why a spot? Well, buckle up for a time travel adventure. This expression soared to popularity in the 1930s thanks to an old advertising jingle for a popular soda. They claimed their drink would hit the spot to quench your thirst. The phrase stuck, and now it's part of everyday English. Here's where it gets fun. You can use this expression in tons of situations. Let's say your friend recommends a great movie and you love it. That movie really hit the spot. Or maybe you finally declutter your room and it feels amazing. This organization project really hit the spot. So, this week, I want you to be on the lookout for those hit the spot moments. Whether it's a tasty snack, a relaxing walk, or finding the perfect word for a crossword puzzle. Notice what brings you the feeling of perfect satisfaction. And again, my friends, you can share your favorite Hit the Spot experience with us on social media, on Patreon, on the website, wherever you want to share your thoughts with us. So that was about today's expression, and next we're going to talk about quotidian. This is the word we're going to dig a little deeper into next, so don't go anywhere, I'll be right back. Do you ever find yourself reaching for the same old adjectives? Things are good, bad, boring, or exciting? What if there was a word that captured the essence of the ordinary, but with a hint of elegance? Well, prepare to have your vocabulary tickled, because today's word is a gem. Welcome to our Word of the Day, where we dust off those hidden treasures of the English language. And today's word is quotidian. Prepare to sound super smart. Quotidian. It rolls off the tongue with a bit of mystery, doesn't it? It means something that's everyday, ordinary, even mundane. Think of your morning coffee routine, the commute to work, doing the dishes. Those are all quotidian activities. But here's where it gets interesting. Quotidian isn't a bad thing. Sure, it doesn't describe heart-pounding adventures, but there's a certain beauty in the familiar. It's about the rhythms of life, the things that ground us and give us a sense of routine. Authors love this word. They use it to paint a realistic picture of their characters' lives, not just the dramatic highs and lows. Imagine a novel where the hero has to slay a dragon, but also remembers to pick up groceries on the way home. That's a bit more relatable, isn't it? So, how do you use quotidian in a sentence? Well, you could say, despite the excitement of his travels, he longed for the quotidian comforts of home. Or we can say, the artist found inspiration in the quotidian beauty of a bustling city street. And now it's time for your challenge. I want you to pay attention to the little, ordinary moments of your day. Is there something you usually take for granted that you can now describe as quotidian? Maybe it's the way the sunlight hits your kitchen table, or the sound of your favorite podcast as you do chores. And don't worry, it doesn't have to be my podcast. I hope it is, but you can choose any other podcast, of course. Now, what I want you to do is to share your quotidian discoveries with me. Because after all, I really want you to have fun with language. Learn, of course, but have fun. Language is a playground. Have fun exploring its nooks and crannies. And with saying that, we're done with our word power section, and we're on to our Did You Know section, in which we always learn something new, and the next thing we're going to learn is something I bet you didn't know about the Sahara Desert. So stick around, don't go anywhere, I'll be right back. Now picture the Sahara Desert. What comes to mind? Probably vast sand dunes, scorching sun, and a whole lot of camels, right? Now get ready to have your mind blown. Did you know that this dusty, barren landscape was once a lush paradise? Think grasslands, sparkling lakes, and even hippos. Welcome to Did You Know, my friends, where we dig up the most fascinating facts from science, history, and the world around us. Today, we're time traveling to uncover the shocking secrets of the Sahara Desert's greener past. So, how did the desert become a rainforest, and then back again? It's all about Earth's tilt. See? Our planet isn't perfectly upright. It wobbles ever so slightly on its axis. This wobble means different parts of the Earth get more or less sunlight over long periods of time. About 10,000 years ago, the Sahara got lots of extra sunshine and rainfall. This turned a dry region into a thriving ecosystem. Cave paintings even show people swimming in areas that are now bone-dry deserts. Unfortunately, this green period went bust. The Earth's tilt shifted again, sunlight dwindled, and the Sahara slowly dried out, eventually becoming the iconic desert we know today. But here's something cool. Scientists think this cycle might happen again in the far future. Imagine a day, thousands of years from now, when the Sahara blooms once more. This mind-bending fact about the Sahara makes you wonder, what other drastic changes might our planet see over time? Could icy landscapes turn tropical? Could bustling cities be swallowed by the sea? Makes you think, doesn't it? And that's exactly what I want you to do. Let me know how this fact transforms the way you see the world. And as usual, I would love to hear what you think. Now it's time to move on to something more related to us, as people. and it is a little bit related to older people. Well, I'm in a place that I can't call myself young anymore, and I'm not old yet. I'm kind of in the middle, so I kind of understand this kind of shift. But it's not about old and young, but it's about how time is perceived by older people. Don't go anywhere, stick around, because that's what we're going to talk about next. I'll be right back. Remember how summer vacations seemed to last forever when you were a kid? But now, a week blinks by and you barely notice. Why does time feel like it's racing away as we get older? Is it all in our heads? Or is there something deeper going on? Welcome, my friends, to Know Yourself, where we explore the fascinating mysteries of our minds. Today, we're unraveling the secrets of time and why a year feels way shorter at 40 than it did at 10. Spoiler alert, your brain is the culprit. Now, this thing is called the proportionality theory. Think of it like this. When you're 5, 1 year is a whopping 20% of your entire life. It's a huge chunk of your experience. But when you're 50, a year is a measly 2%. Your brain notices this shrinking proportion. Events that once felt novel and drawn out become routine, and time seems to slip away faster. It's not just about the calendar, though. Here's where it gets trippy. We also pack less new stuff into our lives as we age. Routines settle in, we've had many firsts, and the world feels less surprising. Our brains take a shortcut. Fewer new memories mean less mental markers of time, making it feel like a blur. But don't despair. There are ways to trick your brain. Trying new things, seeking out novel experiences, and staying curious can stretch that feeling of time. It's like adding little pebbles to your mental timeline, making it feel longer. Now, this week, I want you to find one way to shake up your routine. Visit a new restaurant, listen to music you've never heard before, or take a walk down a new street. See if it makes your perception of time shift even a tiny bit. And of course, share your experiments in slowing down time with me and let me know if that experiment changes anything for you. And remember, your mind is a powerful thing. Embrace its quirks and keep exploring. And now, my friends, it's time for us to move on to our language section, where we're going to talk about the word enough. That's coming next, so don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Have you ever stumbled over using the word enough? It seems simple, but there's surprising depth to this little word. Do you put it before or after? Can you use it with a noun? Does the meaning even change? Welcome to English Usage, where we untangle the complexities of the English language. And today we're decoding the mighty word enough. Now get ready to level up your grammar game. Now first, let's break it down. Enough can be used in three main ways. It can be used as an adjective. Well, this means it comes before the noun it describes. For example, we can say, do we have enough pizza for everyone? Or, I've read enough books about time travel. And enough can be used as an adverb. In this case, enough comes after the adjective or verb it modifies. For example, we say the coffee is hot enough, or they practiced long enough to win the competition. And finally, it can also be used as a pronoun. Well, this is where it stands alone. For example, we say, I've had enough of your nonsense. Or you can also say things like, have you seen enough? Now, here's a quick grammar tip. We often use enough with of, but be careful. Enough of only works with determiners like the, this, my, etc. You can say enough of the rain, but you need to say enough time. Now, of course, I can't cover all examples of enough. All I'm trying to do is to get you a little bit more interested and go look up enough and look up the different uses of enough. I just introduced you some of the most common ones, but there's more to enough. Definitely what we talked about is not enough. So the next time you write or speak, pay attention to how you're using enough. Are you placing it correctly? Is the meaning clear? You can even have some fun and try making sentences where enough plays different roles. And don't forget to share your creative sentences with us. Again, you can do that on Patreon, on the website. And let me remind you again that on Patreon, you don't have to be a paying member. You can become a member for free and enjoy the community there. And then you can decide to become a premium membership or not anytime you want, to unlock the premium offerings exclusive to our patrons. And with that, my friends, we wrap up our language section for today. I know it's a little bit shorter than usual, but I'm having something else in mind, and I thought I would tell you about it later, but let me tell you quickly about what I have in mind. I'm thinking about replacing this whole section, or maybe partially replace it. I will keep one segment, and the other segment I will leave it for your questions. It can be about the topics we're talking about, of course, can be about English, and it can be about the podcast itself or what we do on the website. If you want to have some questions about that as well, I would love to answer them. All you have to do is send me an email to ask@englishpluspodcast.com. I created this email specifically for this purpose. You can ask any questions you want, and of course, you can choose to include as much information about yourself as you want me to share on the podcast. If you want just to mention your name without where you're from or what you do, it's up to you. You just let me know how much information you would like me to share on the podcast. If you haven't mentioned anything, I will just use the name, the first name, and that's it. But if you want some more information about yourself to be mentioned in the podcast, by all means, let me know. And of course, here I'm not talking about advertising, right? So don't include anything that has to do with advertising something you do. Just who you are, where you're from, what you do, that kind of stuff. And now, my friends, it's time for us to move on to my favorite part of the digest, and that is the literary echoes section. That's coming next, so don't go anywhere. I'll be right back talking about Modern Monsters and Mighty Ulysses by Phoenix. Don't go anywhere. Well, this time I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to start with some analysis of the poem, and then I'm going to share the poem with you. Now, the poem I've chosen for today is called Mighty Ulysses by Phoenix. Now, if you find the name a little bit strange and you don't know who Ulysses is, well, you might be more familiar with Odysseus. Now, Odysseus is Ulysses, the same person. But he's usually called that later, not by Homer. Homer called him Odysseus. Later, he was called Ulysses. But enough of that. I'm just telling you who Ulysses is, this ancient Greek hero. That's what we're talking about. But if you think you know the story of Ulysses, the ancient hero of Homer's Odyssey, think again. Today's poem, Mighty Ulysses by Phoenix, thrusts this legendary warrior into our modern world. But are his battles against gods and monsters truly over? Or do more insidious evils lurk outside our doors? Welcome, my friends, to our daily poem where words come alive. And let's dive into a poetic journey of contrasts, questioning what it means to be a hero today. Well, this poem is a clash of worlds. Phoenix vividly recalls Ulysses' triumphs, sirens, cyclops, the journey to the underworld, but these mythic dangers pale in comparison to what he faces now. The line, "Nothing wants to eat your flesh anymore," sends chills down the spine. It's not physical threats, but a sinister force targeting the heart and soul. And we will notice in the poem the shift in monsters. The Laestrygonians, who sought to devour, are replaced by a world that consumes dreams. Today's battleground, the poem suggests, is internal. Modern society strips individuality, offering the numbness of River Lethe in exchange for conformity. The poem speaks of a new currency needed to win modern battles. Could this be integrity? The fight to remain true to oneself? Phoenix urges Ulysses to return to his time, where physical wars are at least straightforward. Our world, filled with invisible pressures, proves a much greater threat to true heroism. And the final lines of the poem are haunting. Our invisible monsters are hard to spot. What are the hidden monsters of your own lives? The distractions, the pressure to conform, the things that chip away at your spirit without leaving a physical scar? Let me know how this poem challenges your perception of heroism. And of course, as usual, I would love to hear from you. I would love to know what you think. But now it's time for the poem itself. Now that you have a pretty good idea about the poem, I hope that will help you understand the poem even better. Mighty Ulysses by Phoenix. Abandon your quest, Mighty Ulysses. Glorious fields of Elysium still haven't seen a bigger shoe. You stood up to gods and monsters, yet nothing more threatening than today, when everything urges you to move far away from yourself. You dared venture the realm of Erebus, such a mighty feat, but today, nothing is more glorious than stepping outside your door every day, and when you come back, you are still the same man. There are no horrors like those you faced. No sirens, no one-eyed monsters. Nothing wants to eat your flesh anymore. But there is that shadow lurking outside your door, longing to eat your heart within. Fear not, mighty Ulysses, I will lead the way. No one will turn your men to swine. Modern civilized men had it all figured out. No need to turn you physically anyway. you can always be treated as one. Come, my dear Ulysses, come. Don't let your heart fail you yet. Your men perished for the cattle of the sun. Look around you today. Anything you touch must be sacred to someone. And gods are changing every day. Your Laestrygonians are on the run. What's more than eating a man's flesh is eating up his hopes and dreams to ever become a man. Xenia of the modern world, we take your children in. We only teach one thing. You live as you are born. Take our river to the top or go live with all the rest. Drink from Lethe into oblivion. You rise when we say you rise. When we need a stepping stone, you fall. Don't lose heart, sweet mighty Ulysses. There is one currency in our modern world to win or lose the heart of man. I'm not sure if you do understand. Go back to your world, mighty Ulysses. Wars are waged and fought today by much mightier heroes. The battle of every day to start the day a man and finish the day a man. Go back, mighty Ulysses. Abandon your quest in our world. Our invisible monsters are hard to spot, and a dedicated consumer like us, you are not. Abandon your quest, mighty Ulysses, and leave it all to the modern man. Well, my friends, this is one of my favorite poems. I hope you enjoyed this poem. But that's it for poetry for today. Next, we're moving to the very last segment of our episode today. And this has to do with superheroes. So we're not going far away from the theme of the poem. It's also about superheroes, but from a totally different angle. In our spotlight, we will talk about superpowers and what would your power be. So stick around. This is our very last stop in today's episode. I'll be right back. Now, let's be honest. We've all secretly imagined ourselves as superheroes. Maybe as a kid, racing around with a towel cape, or even now, daydreaming during a dull meeting. But what if this seemingly childish question actually holds a key to understanding ourselves better? Welcome, my friends, to our spotlight where we shine a light on the everyday questions that reveal fascinating truths. Today, we're ditching our capes for some philosophical fun and asking, if you were a superhero, what would your name and power be? Now, on the surface, it's about flying or super strength, right? But dig a little deeper. The power you choose says a lot about your values. You want telepathy? Maybe you crave connection, understanding others, invisibility? Perhaps you need space, a chance to observe unnoticed, the power of healing. That points to a compassionate heart. What about your superhero name? Is it bold and flashy, subtly clever, or deeply meaningful? Now, this reveals how you want the world to see you. But here's where it gets truly interesting. Think about the problems you'd solve with your power. Would you fight crime, tackle environmental issues, ease suffering? This choice reveals the change you wish to see in the world. Now, even the silliest superpower choices spark insight. You want to turn into a cat? Maybe you long for freedom and a touch of mystery? The power to eat unlimited pizzas? Perhaps hidden beneath that is a desire for abundance and simple pleasures. So, my friends, what kind of world do your superhero choices paint? Are you a protector? A problem solver? A trickster? Does your power reveal a need that's unmet in your real life? Let me know about that. Tell me about your superhero alter ego. And of course, as usual, you can do that by sharing what you think, by answering these questions in the comments section on our website or on Patreon, on our social media accounts, anywhere you can connect with us. I'll be waiting for you, and I promise that I'm really working on some consolidated place where we have a real community around our English Plus. It's definitely on the table. And by the way, if you have any good ideas, please let me know. That will definitely help me narrow down the search. And with that, my friends, we come to the end of today's episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed creating it. And don't forget about the questions that I want to include in the episodes to come. If you have any questions in mind, don't forget that you can ask anything you want, of course, related to what I usually talk about. Or if you want to ask some not really personal questions, but maybe questions about the podcast itself, about the website, about maybe the process that we're using, I will happily answer any questions like that. All you need to do is send an email to ask@englishpluspodcast.com. And as I told you earlier, you can include any information that you would want me to share in the podcast, of course, without advertisements and without too much personal details. Anyway, even if you want to share personal details, I will not do that. But of course, if you want to share your full name, what you do, where you're from, I would love to share that on the podcast. With that being said, my friends, thank you very much for listening to another episode from English Plus Podcast, to another digest from English Plus Podcast. I'm your host, Danny. Thank you very much for listening. I will see you next time.